Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to yet another fantastic episode of Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And today, we're going to have a fantastic guest from across the world. So he's an international guest. He's going to talk more about HR technology and the amazing trends that are happening in the HR recruiting industry. So stay tuned. If you're on Twitter, hit the hashtag DTHR, and if you wish to ask any questions, shoot it to us. We will be able to pull that up. Or if you're traveling, you can listen to us on the go. Dial 347-996-5600. So let's get right to it. Let me welcome our guest, Abakar. He is the co-founder of SeedJob. Hey, Abakar, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nisha. Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you here with us today. So I really don't want to mess up your last name. I hope I pronounce it as Abakar Saito. Is it correct?
That's perfect. First time right.
Oh, that's great. All right. So if you don't mind, would you please kick off with a brief intro so that our audience can know who you are and what you do?
Sure, no problem at all. So as you mentioned, I'm the co-founder and CEO of a technology startup called SeedJobs, and we build the next generation of recruitment software. We started SeedJobs on the basic premise that the way that we work, live, and communicate have really evolved over the last decade. And we're always on, always connected, we're always moving. And the lines between work and life are blurred, and a lot of organizations have really not kept up. And you know, as you know very well, the success of any company is really anchored in their ability to attract and retain the best talent. That's why we're all here. And at the most basic level, recruiting is about making connections between people. So we really founded our company on this idea of how do we improve that process, and how has that process changed with the evolution of the web. So we've taken a lot of learnings from the ideas of marketing. If you think that the job of a recruiter is very similar to the job of a salesperson or a marketer, but rather than selling the product, you're actually doing two jobs. You're sending the candidate to the company, but also the company to the candidate. And we really dove into build a product and build a company around the ideas that we can do that job better, and we can use the technology that has evolved over the last 10 years to really focus on the candidate and the candidate experience.
That's great. So you are a leader, co-founder, and entrepreneur of SeedJobs, and currently based out of London, but right now you are exploring other markets like United States and across the world as well. So tell us, how did this idea emerge, SeedJobs? What was your inspiration to start this entrepreneurship, and how was the journey? Tell us the story.
Sure, we would love to. It's actually good to remember it all. So we started this company. My co-founder is actually my brother, so we're a two-brother team building recruitment technology. And both of us really originally started our careers in the financial services sector, working in some of the largest investment banks and finance organizations in the world. And we spend a lot of time actually recruiting and helping those companies recruit. And the evolution of this thought process that I started describing earlier really happened with the process of recruitment, the advertising, the cold calling, the going out there and interrupting people's lives in order to try and hire them. Seemed really inefficient. And then when we looked at what, say, the marketing teams of those companies did, it was all about inbound. It was all about how do we get the customer to come to you? How do we not interrupt the customer, but really create a persona, understand the journey, build that journey and relationship with the customer, and then convert them over time? And we thought, surely recruitment should be done the same way. Surely when we browse the web, when we do everyday things, we don't think I'm buying something versus I'm looking for a job. It's all blended together. So the genesis of our company was treat candidates like you treat customers. That's the number one thing that we live by. So out of that evolved the technology that we use. Out of that, we kind of started experimenting with all the tools that we brought to market. And I remember, and one conversation with a recruiter at a very large technology firm, and I said to them, as part of our conversation, how many hits does your careers page get every day? And they looked at me blankly and said, how do I do that? So a lot of recruitment professionals really don't think like marketers yet today, and that's what we're trying to change.
That is awesome. So let's move on with our regular question of the next 30 minutes, and then we will move on with all the topics that are related to that. So what's keeping you up at night these days, being a co-founder, being a leader, being an HR tech geek?
That's a very good question, actually. lots of things. The list is actually quite endless, but what's really keeping me up at night, I think, is how do we really engage and educate the organizations that we're starting to work with on the tools that are available to them. The thing that we come across the most with some of the biggest organizations around the world, there are kind of two issues. One is that they have very entrenched technology, especially if you're a very large company with a 20, 30, 40 strong HR or recruitment team. You're already using some kind of archaic, antiquated ETS solution, stroke HR solution that was put in place 5 to 10 years ago, and it's very difficult to rip it out. So the one thing is figuring out how do we start working with those organizations and really show them that there is so much more out there that they can do. The second component, and you know, we can explore both of these in a lot of depth, but the second one is, as I'm sure you would agree, human resources is a very intangible side of the business in terms of you cannot put a value on hiring good people. You cannot put a value on how attracting the best talent can actually be monetized. But it is something that is always a top priority for every single CEO. So figuring out how you connect those two ideas together and really get the budgets and empower the recruitment teams to go to their CFO, to go to their CEO and say, hey, we really need this because I think it will make a huge difference to our entire organization.
So what do you recommend for those listeners out there currently when it comes to connecting and attracting with the best talent? What are some of the tips that you provide to your clients?
That's a very good question. So it really starts with understanding the company's culture, because the number one thing that we always come across is with an organization that they have a very big kind of disparity between their consumer brand and their employer brand. So the very first thing is to understand how is your employer brand perceived. For example, if you're working for a very high-profile consumer-focused company like, say, the name Spotify, a lot of people use the product, but not a lot of people make the bridge that you can actually work there. So number one is, how easy is it for a potential candidate to see and access your employer brand? So we work with those clients to actually firstly figure that out, but secondly, bring that much more to the front of what the company is trying to achieve. The second, and this is kind of really the ethos of why we built this company, is the primary job of a recruiter is to communicate with talent. So everything and anything that they do should make them better at that. And that's what the technology should do. So we built our product around how do we create the technology that really gets out of the way? How do we make something that makes the recruiter much better at communicating with talent? And that comes from either being able to, well, actually, or a number of things. One is being able to get as much context around the person that they're talking to. So, for example, what our product enables you to do is just from an email address, you can pull in all the social data, all of their public information about down from their profile picture all the way to where they've worked, where they've studied. So when you as a recruiter talk to them, you have context. The second thing is being able to analyze how well the things that you're doing as a recruitment team are actually working. So the thing I alluded to in the beginning where the recruiter didn't know how many hits their careers page got was an endemic sign that there's a problem and that they don't measure. And, as I'm sure you'd agree, you can't change what you can't measure. So we really start to work with the recruitment teams and HR departments of how do we measure what you do today. So I was at an HR conference a few months ago in San Francisco, and Stacey Zabar, who you know was runs talent at Zappos, she asked a question. She was a panelist, and she said, how many of you here care about the candidate experience? And there was a couple of hundred people in the room, and almost all the hands went up. Everyone cares about the candidate experience. And then her next question was, how many of you can measure that candidate experience? And like three hands went up. And that's really, really what we focus on, is how do you get to understand what actions you're taking and how that candidate experience that you created, how can you measure it and how can you improve it? And that's a huge component of what we do, and we have a whole analytics product that enables you to do that.
So let's get right to it. You know, when I talk to most of the recruiter, and being an HR, I always talk or start with, when I talk about recruiting, I focus more on the culture fit. But I've seen that recruiters have a hard time understanding or getting the language of culture fit. So some people say, it's just a myth, it's not a reality, and some people are really into it because they really want somebody who really wanting to mesh with the culture of the organization and the person that is more excited to step into that organization and to be working with that team within that organization. So to your point, you know, that was the first point that you have mentioned, understanding the company's culture, first and foremost thing that every recruiter needs to do. So in that aspect, what do you recommend to the recruiters in terms of, I mean, the third-party recruiters, in terms of understanding the company culture of their clients that they are trying to help?
It's an interesting question, and I think it's a tough one because I think it's a lot harder for third-party recruiters than it is for those sitting in-house.
I know. If an in-house recruiter, it is pretty much easy because they really know what is happening there. But if it is a third-party recruiter, a third-party agency that is trying to help a client to find out the best talent for them, how do they kind of understand? What are some tips and techniques that you would suggest to them to understand the company culture of the client that will help them to do their job successfully, right?
Absolutely. And I think, and I've worked on both sides with a lot of professional recruiters, and I think the ones that are really fantastic spend quite a substantial amount of time with the company and really interviewing and understanding them in order to get on the right page. And I think obviously, it varies massively depending on which level you're helping the company hire. If you're hiring a replacement CEO for the organization, it's a very different job than if you're hiring, you know, software engineers at a junior level. But it still pertains hugely that the best recruiters that I've ever worked with sit down with the CEO, with the middle management, with the junior people, and ask them a set of questions that are designed around understanding the company's culture. What we actually do, and we do this a lot ourselves because a lot of the time the company finds it very hard to articulate their culture, is we do videos. So we sit them down and we ask between 4 and 8 to 10 employees the same set of questions that are designed to really create a story and allude to whether there is a strong culture or a weak culture. Because if the answers match, if the answers to those 10 questions are very similar amongst all of those employees of different levels, then the culture is very strong. And whereas if the answers are different, then the culture is quite weak and there's a different problem. But, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, you finish, and then I will move on with the next question.
So that's kind of one way of the actual way you would do it and the way you would tease out that culture. But then the types of questions that you ask, and I'll give you an example of from our own culture and the way that we hire versus a company that I'm a big fan of. So the way that we hire is we ask our candidates to tell us what specifically interests them about what we do and what they want to work on. So rather than saying, tell me how you would solve this problem, we say to them, tell me how you would solve our problem. tell me which problem you want to solve in our organization. Because one of the big things that's important for us, and that is our culture, is around someone who's truly passionate about the thing we're trying to solve. So it doesn't matter which part of the team that they work in, whether it's marketing, whether it's software engineering, it's bringing something to the table and having really shown that they think about it. Another company that, as I mentioned, I'm a huge fan of is a software company called Atlassian, and they have a famous product called Jira. Now, one of their values, and they have very strong instilled values, is be the change you seek. And to me, that's fantastic because they vocalize that value almost on a daily basis, where whenever there's a meeting and someone's unhappy with something, someone else says, be the change you seek. It means that if you don't like something, go and change it. Everyone is empowered to go and change it. So once you as a professional recruiter have been able to understand what are those particular strengths of the company's culture, whether it's, say, from my former employer, I used to work, I started my career at Goldman Sachs, you know, their strength is being able to hire incredibly driven and incredibly smart people towards a common goal. So it depends what that culture is, but once you've understood it, it's then being able to test for that.
Well, that is indeed a right thing that you said right now. And the next question that I really wanted to delve in would be the candidate experience. But before we get to that, let's give a big shout-out to our audience. Hey, we are live on air at Drive2 HR, and we have a wonderful guest joined with us, Abhakar Saidal. He is the co-founder of Seed.Jobs. So check it out. And we are talking all the latest trends on recruitment industry and mostly how recruiters should connect with the candidates and why and how candidate experience is important is going to be the discussions that we are going to do right now. So, Abhakar, you told me the presentation that you have listened to of Stacey, and then you kind of given more importance to how do you measure the candidate experience, right? We all know as a recruiter, I mean, nowadays organizations, they know the importance of providing a candidate experience so that they can attract the best talent, not only attracting, but can retain them too. But when it comes to measuring the candidate experience, probably most of them, they don't know. So how do you help your client at Seed.Jobs when it comes to measuring the candidate experience?
Great. Yeah, that's a very good question. And that's something that we spent a lot of time with our clients working on. So if you start back to what does candidate experience actually mean? And on its most basic level, it's how have you been treated by the company? It starts with the very first time you interact with that company to the very last time and there's an offer letter sitting on the table, all the way through to the onboarding process. And then there is obviously the employee experience, which extends further than that. Now, what we start with at the very beginning is you have to show your candidates how the candidate experience you show them before they're hired is how they perceive it will be after they're hired. So you cannot expect the candidate to think, oh, you know, the candidate experience sucks, but the moment this company hires me, everything will be wonderful. Because this is the only thing that they have to judge you on. And at a very basic level, it's you go on a company's website, and what does it say about the company? What are the messages? Down to when I apply, and this is really, really important, it's the actual application process and the interaction process with the company that a lot of companies fall down on. Because if you're using very kind of archaic applicant tracking systems, it forces you through a million questions that take 40 minutes, and you know, you forget to save one answer and the whole page crashes, and then you have to do everything again. You submit an application and then you get an automated response saying, you know, thank you, we'll be in touch, and then you don't hear back for 3 or 4 weeks. I'm painting a picture of a very bad candidate experience. Now, if we break that down to bad and how whether they've made it personal or not. So what we do is we really focus on how to enable the company to make that experience personal and to measure how well they're making it personal. So that starts with when someone says they're interested in the company, enabling them not to go through that lengthy process, but to just say, hey, here's my email. I'd love to be in touch with someone. giving them opportunity to connect with a recruiter or someone directly at the company without having to go through all the hoops that would be traditionally associated with the application process. The second step is response time. If the company takes more than a couple of days to get back to you, that is not a good sign. So we really measure how each recruiter is going from the candidate showed an interest down to when was the first communication, down to how well that recruiter is doing at communicating with that candidate. So we really highlight the number of messages sent, how many of them are being opened, how long each candidate is spending, if there's, say, a funnel from lead down to offer in each particular stage of the funnel.
That's really great. I'm sorry, I really wanted to interrupt you right there. So what should be the ideal time that a recruiter should take when it comes to responding to a candidate?
So what we recommend is it should not be more than 48 hours.
All right.
And because beyond that, especially if you're, you know, a hot candidate and a lot of recruiters and a lot of companies are talking to you, decisions can be made in less than that amount of time. So it's not just about the experience. You can actually lose out on some very good talent if you're not fast enough. So, you know, our product really focuses on creating some of that automation, but also the reminders and the follow-ups that you schedule that enable you to really react fast. The other side of it is, and actually, the candidate experience doesn't just extend to who you do hire and who you really want. It extends to who you don't hire. So if, say, someone applies and you think, hey, we don't have that opening for you right now, but you're great, we'd love to stay in touch, it's how do you make sure you stay in touch with that person to make them feel like, hey, this is an amazing company. And we can speak from personal experience. You know, a couple of the people that have now joined our team and are fantastic, you know, can't sing them high enough praises, we have been speaking to for over a year. And we have maintained that relationship. We've been constantly in touch, giving them updates on how our company is doing, how our product is doing. And that really engages someone because to them, we don't have to do that. We don't have to build that personal relationship with someone we haven't hired. But we really believe that if you build a relationship first, then that person really wants to work with you in the future.
Absolutely. Well, candidate experience matters to the people who don't get hired too, because we really want to know why and what's the reason we are not getting hired. And going back to one of your points that you said, automation, because ultimately for a recruiter, especially if it is a larger organization, he might be sitting and getting responses from 1,000 candidates at a time, and they may not be able to respond to those candidates at a time. So automation helps when it comes to whether the resume is being accepted or not, or that first interaction, the response of that first interaction that is getting from a company is really, really important. So what are some aspects that you would suggest to our audience when it comes to using automation, and up to what limit that you suggest automation should be used?
That's a great question. So I would say the boundaries are, in my opinion, that the automation should make you do your job better, but it shouldn't replace you from doing your job.
Exactly.
So, for example, being able to find information on a candidate faster, or being able to message multiple candidates in a personal way where you have, you know, the mail merge functionality that we provide, and being able to communicate very quickly or be reminded of which talent you should be really reaching out to. For example, one of the first feature requests we had is, you know, I wish something would tell me when I haven't spoken to a candidate for over 2 weeks, and it would remind me that I should speak to them. Now, that's automation of who you should be talking to, but it doesn't actually automate the message itself. So we really believe that only automate what makes you better at your job. Don't actually automate your own job.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And recruiters are having a hard time responding to those rejection cases because, you know, it is really sensitive, right? So it is funny that I've seen one recruiter responding to a rejection case in an automated message, and it is really, really, as far as I'm concerned it is really, really lame. I mean, after going through a one-on-one interview, after meeting the manager of the organization, I mean, the hiring manager of the organization, it's really not a good sign sending a rejection letter through an automated message. They could have taken a time to write a personal note on the experiences that they have gone through, the hiring manager during the interview, and might have mentioned that unique experiences and why they have not found a fit on that candidate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so HR tech is happening, and you are an HR tech geek, and I should ask this question to you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you foresee happening in the HR tech industry in the next 5 years?
You're actually very right. I geek out on HR a lot, and the one thing that I'm hugely passionate about that I still think is a massive chasm in our industry is the connection between recruiting and performance management.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two, you know, the human resources function covers both bringing personnel into the company and then the success of those people within the company. Whereas when you actually dig into it, those are very different processes. And probably 9 out of 10 organizations that we speak to, when you say to them, is there a connection between how well people do and then is then reflected in the future hiring process that you have, the answer is no. So what we see happening is for products like ours that really enable you to bring automation and data science and technology to the recruiting workflow, combining forces with companies that bring the same sort of ideas to the performance management workflow. One company that is doing this incredibly well is called PeopleGoal, that essentially you have a really new take on the way that you do performance management, going away from annual reviews, which no one likes doing because, you know, you having to remember every single instance where you worked with a person over the course of a year and putting that down into one paragraph is incredibly challenging. And they're really changing that with a biweekly or monthly review process, again, giving you more data. So connecting that data between hiring and performance and really giving the company everything that they need to make their own decisions. I really don't believe in telling a company who to hire and giving them some sort of score saying this person matches your criteria, because every company is different, every recruiter is different. But giving them the data to be able to see the patterns, to be able to see and interpret whatever they see as right is where I believe the industry is going.
All right. What is the one area of HR or people management that you see HR technology has still not yet met the needs?
So, could you repeat the question?
What is one area of HR function or people management that you see HR technology is missing right now?
That's a tough one, actually. I think it's
or
really
yet to explore.
I think it's really the focus on the data and the analytics around the hiring, the performance process. A lot of big data gets thrown around, big data for HR, big data for hiring, but it's not the right kind of data yet. So being able to properly measure, being able to get actionable insights is what I really get excited about and what we're trying to work towards with our company.
All right. Well, Abakar, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your lunch time. I know in London it's not probably your lunch time, but then over here at Drive Through HR, we had an excellent time in conversation with you and look forward to having one more show again sometime soon. So where can our audience connect with you and find out more details about Feed.jobs?
So anyone can reach me on my Twitter tag at Abakar, that's A-B-A-K-A-R, or go to our website, it's www.seed.jobs, and reach out.
All right, so that was Abakar, A-B-A-K-A-R. Find out and connect with him on Twitter, and we will talk to you all tomorrow. listening. Bye-bye to all. Thanks, Abakar.
Thanks, Nisha.
Hot air balloon that could go to space with the air, like I don't care, baby, by the